This is part three of Do You Really Know the Gospel? In my first two messages, I have emphasized that Jesus came preaching the gospel of God, and the response commanded by Jesus was to repent and believe. Repentance is not only a confession of our guilt, but also a turning away from our sinful lifestyle. Jesus said to believe in the gospel, meaning to believe, have faith in Him. He is the only way of salvation. Sincerity of belief in any other religious tenet, any other religious leader, is no good. There is only one way to heaven, and that is by Jesus. In the last message, I wanted to emphasize that any gospel message must properly deal with the work of Christ. We have not shared the true gospel unless we have told people what specifically Jesus has done for us and why that work of Christ was necessary. In Acts 10:36, we read that the gospel is a message of peace through Jesus Christ. There are two ways the Bible uses the notion of peace. One way is the mental comfort that we derive from trusting in Christ, the removal of anxiety or worry. But the most fundamental use of peace is that it conveys the notion of being reconciled to an offended party. In Isaiah 59, verse 2, we are told that we are separated from God because of our sins. Mankind is in need of reconciliation to a holy God. In my last message, I showed that the law of God is the perfect standard of righteousness, which God demands that we all keep every second of our lives. Sin is defined as breaking the law of God. Because God is holy, He cannot accept any flaw in us whatsoever. Unless we are perfect, we will not get into heaven. Of course, the overwhelming number of people will say, "Well, none of us are perfect." Well, that's the point. That's right. That is why we all need a Savior, because we cannot save ourselves. The most immediate problem that mankind faces is that we all stand under a sentence of condemnation. Because of our sins, we must eternally die, says the Scripture. We must perish in hell for our sins, Jesus said. God doesn't sweep our sins under the rug, so to speak, as if our sins don't really matter to Him. No, as I pointed out in the last message, James 2:10 and Galatians 3:10 indicate that one sin will condemn us. We haven't truly shared the gospel until we make it very clear to a person that there is absolutely no hope for them in themselves, and that God is angry with them because of their sin. Some today want to shy away from saying God is angry with sinners. To teach otherwise is not the gospel. Many well-meaning Christians are confused about the relationship of the love of God with the wrath of God. Now, I want you to listen carefully to what Romans 5, 8-10 says. And here's what God's Word says, quote, "But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." This passage clearly tells us that we are viewed by God as enemies, under His wrath, because of our sins. But then the passage also says that God's love is shown to sinners despite being sinners. The provision of Jesus Christ and the shedding of His blood for sinners is the love of God. But keep in mind, God is not forgetting about our sins, not in the least. The glorious fact is that reconciliation between a holy God and sinful men can only be accomplished by the death of Christ. To go around saying arbitrarily to people that God loves them can be very misleading, and it's not biblical. You need to tell sinners that God is angry with them due to their sins, but then that Christ was sent to remedy that sin problem, and that apart from faith in Christ, there is no hope for them. Psalm 7, verse 11 says, God judges the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. I want the listener to listen very carefully to what I'm about to say. To speak of the love of God apart from the anger of God towards sinners is not biblical when it comes to the gospel message. Does the sinner, it's a great disservice to the sinner to speak of the love of God for them outside of the fact that God is angry towards them about their sins. Let me read 1 John 4:10 for you. Quote, in this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. My friends, you see in this passage, just like in Romans 5, 8 through 10, God's love is not separated from the need for the propitiation of our sins. Now, that word propitiation needs to be explained, and it basically means this. It means the appeasing of God's wrath by means of a bloody sacrifice. Let me emphasize for you two things that you must emphasize in any gospel message in order to be faithful to the gospel. First, we must talk about the death of Christ in our place. Jesus died for the sinner, paying the penalty for our sins. The Bible clearly says in Hebrews 9:22 that there is no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. In the death of Christ, in place of the sinner, God's wrath is averted. Now, we must not leave the impression to a sinner that Christ died for them apart from their exercising faith in Him. In Mark 1:15, Jesus commanded men to believe in the gospel. The clear implication is that the death of Christ has no meaning then for a person apart from faith in Him. Listen carefully to what John 3:36 says. It says, quote, He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. You see, apart from believing in Jesus, God's wrath is upon the sinner. That's what the Word of God says. So the work of Christ entails, first, the necessary death of Christ for sinners to satisfy the anger of God for us having broken His holy law. But there's a second part to the work of Christ that is as important as an emphasis upon the death of Christ. And that is the fact that we must be perfect in order to get into heaven. Since we cannot render to God that necessary perfect obedience, it is necessary that our substitute be perfect in our place. And this is exactly what Jesus does for sinners who believe in Him. Jesus' perfect obedience to the law of God is imputed to us, meaning that word means credited to us, as if we had done it ourselves. This is why Jesus had to be without sin. Jesus never, ever, ever sinned one time, unlike us. Therefore, Jesus had to be absolutely perfect, without blemish, in order to merit being our Redeemer. Sinners cannot atone for the sins of sinners. Only a perfect man can atone for the sins of another. The righteousness of that sinless substitute is therefore credited to us, and that is how we are perfect getting into heaven. Here's how the Apostle Paul stated it in Philippians 3:9, which says, that I may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on account of faith. There we have it. I cannot save myself by my own righteousness or good works, by trying hard to obey the law. Because I'm a sinner, I will break the law. But by faith in Jesus Christ, who kept the law perfectly for me, I am now perfect in Christ. Emphasis in Christ only. So, only in Him am I righteous. Now, this is why Ephesians 2:8-9 says, quote, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." So we see, brethren, I'm not saved by my works. The grace of God is unmerited favor, meaning I don't deserve anything but God's wrath. But while I was a sinner, the Son of God was sent into this world to bear the penalty for my sin and to give me His righteousness in order to get into heaven. Hallelujah! What a Savior! And all that I need to do to have that sin forgiven is to believe in Jesus. All I have to do to be perfect standing before a holy God is to believe in Jesus, whose righteousness is credited to me. My friends, this is the gospel message that Jesus preached, that the apostles preached, and what faithful preachers have done down through the centuries have preached. You need to be sure that you really know this gospel. May God bless you this day, and keep in mind that Jesus is a far, far greater Savior than we are a sinner.